Evan, did you get a chance to do any measurements or anything? Or?
Well, I was just talking to them, too, about, you know, like property lines, like township road ending and stuff. So,
yep.
Obviously, we do more after that. Township road, like they were thinking, is probably around, what do you say, 1,000 from the road?
1,000 feet, approximately.
Yeah, so 1,000 feet to the end of the township, or if you go all the way back even further, then I think you guys said it was 2,000 something one day, didn't you?
All the way to the residence.
Yeah, all the way to the residence.
Where does the line end at out there? Does it end at the top?
Right. No, right at Scoville Road, right when you turn left.
Oh, well, that's where the line coming out ends right there?
Yep, there's a water hydrant right there.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess I didn't see the hydrant when I went by.
It's on the north side.
It's on the north side of the road.
Yeah, right before the road. Yep.
Okay, that's why I probably missed it.
Yeah.
It sits back in the ditch quite a ways.
Oh, okay.
So we do have water there.
Yes.
Out that far, we just...
I didn't know we had water out that far.
I didn't either.
Richardson's already tapped on.
Richardson's
that new house?
Yeah.
They tapped on to that line.
Okay.
Oh, they tapped on to it? Okay.
Yeah.
So they come down over the hill, or they just went out to the road?
They tapped in, went underneath the road.
Okay.
They themselves, and the meter is just right there in the corner of the roads on their property.
So they're tapped on to the main?
Yeah. Okay.
And the thing is, we would have to run a 4-inch main down that route to catch anybody, because that's what's called for now, 4-inch. Used to, they get by with 2-inch, but...
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
Hi, Tim.
They go to some hot seats.
Yeah.
Get everything out of Lost City to have 4-inch main. That's why I figured, you know, my thing to them was, you know, they... One runs a 2-inch line, and then say the other person wants water, and they run a 2-inch line. I think there's another residence. I understand that they have a new well, but you know how that goes. Eventually, someone's always hooking up in the near future, is it?
So they got to run 4-inch or 2-inch?
Yeah. Well, they can run personal. They can go 2-inch, which would be wise for them.
Off the main?
Off the main.
Okay.
But
they'll have to be separate taps. I mean,
they'd have to be separate taps, and that's why we're thinking, you know, well,
and every time you tap, you'll have to bore under the road.
It
so.
Would be better if it was one line put through there, then everybody tap off.
You put a 4-inch through it, that
put
way you can bore one time. And
yeah, that would make more sense than running two inches clear back out to the road.
And Dunham's back there, you know him, he's the third house. He's
okay.
The one that Brock was just talking about that just spent some money on a well, but you never know. You know, if you got water going right by your driveway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And Tim, you're the first house?
Second
house? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brad and Kim Richards.
Okay.
David.
All right.
Yeah. They're already, they just ran 2-inch under.
That's what they said.
We still ran 4, but
yeah.
He looks like he drilled under the road.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It would make more sense if everybody's going to tap on, then it would make more sense to run a 4-inch line down that road. And, I mean, that would benefit us too, but a 4-inch line, then everybody tap off the 4-inch line.
Yeah, right.
Because we couldn't run a 2-inch and everybody tap off the 2-inch, which has been done years ago, but we can't do that anymore. Biggest thing is expense. I think that one time we had Pike to do that, right, Evan?
They had all the Pike to actually do that project and run down. I think it was for one of the customers. I don't remember who it was, but he said, you know, there's people, one person back there wanted water and others would probably tap on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put to the hall on that, so we had bundles of water line that just sat around. You know, now I wouldn't use it underground just because UV rays, some fading and all that. I'd obviously put it just new. And
now, this is something, if we did it, we'd have to have somebody run the line? Or
If we rented a trencher, we'd just do it like we did the other lines. You know, we did H. And
trencher dance?
Yeah, I'm sure for all in your members. Seeing the trencher go 2 mile an hour
mm-hmm.
many days.
Yeah,
we can trench it ourselves. We had a trencher also. We sold that, so run that.
Is it something that if we did it that way, is it something that we could rent a trencher and do it, or would it be wiser just to have somebody trench it for us?
You'd have to just call around and check what people.
It's usually like $2 a foot, I think.
Yeah.
To trench. Because I know when I trenched out the farm, I trenched it all myself, but I did the walk behind thing, and I went 650 feet, but I don't recommend it.
How much weight you lose?
And there's contractors in town with trenchers in the area, and
yes,
it would probably be wiser just somebody had to trench it, but we would be there to lay the line ourselves.
Yeah, we would have to have a board underneath the county road.
Yeah.
So I need to check with Kinzel. He's been looking at stuff to do his own like 4-inch taps and stuff. Obviously, our taps don't go big enough and go to 2-inch. Kinzel might have something like that. I do a lot of talking with him to see what he's got and don't have in case an emergency for the city that I got someone to call. But I'm sure there's other towns with, you know, stuff I can tap that big if needed. Contact a few people.
One of the things that bothers me about it is being a dead-end line, but it is a dead-end line out there already, and it's usually better if it's a loop, because dead-end, but with as much use as it would probably be on it, it probably wouldn't be as bad, because anytime you dead-end the line, it you have problems.
Or wheel stagnant and all that.
Yep.
Chlorine residuals typically, but the more water you use towards the dead end, the higher the residuals, the less water the city has to waste going out flushing just to maintain good residuals.
And I don't see a loop in the future. But yeah. I know, I think what I would like to see is that I don't think there's any... I mean, I don't think it's going to be finalized tonight. But I think what we need to do is get all the measurements and the price and what it's going to cost us to do it as far as trenching. But that's what I wanted to get out tonight, what we actually want to do and who's all... And so there's two of you for sure are going to be on it.
Correct.
And you have no problem signing the annexation. Of course, you're not going to annex yet because we don't have any connections yet, but a pre-annexation, you have no problem with signing that. Okay. Because that is a requirement if you do water outside your community is a annex or a pre-annexation. But I think is something that we have to figure cost of pipe and who's going to do what. And of course, you guys would be all in for everything from the tap to your property or to your house.
Right.
And of course, that's the same way anywhere.
And is that fine if we did stop at the township side? If we were to run a line, is that fine with you? Instead of going all the way back to your house down the drive or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What township is that? Lewistown Township?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I need to write that down. I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
To give you an idea, we kind of asked some people what it would kind of cost.
Uh-huh.
And for 500 feet or so, 4-inch, that's including the pipe, boring it under the road, it was like $4,000.
Okay.
To give you an idea.
That was 500 feet, 4-inch?
That was taking it past 10.
Just past 10.
Just past 10.
Okay.
That's
right.
Water's not cheap.
They said the pipe's gone up, you know, with everything else.
Yeah.
So
that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It costs to have water.
Yeah.
Can't live without it, though.
No, you can't.
I mean, it's a plus for us if we can sell water like that. If we can, I mean, it only helps the community to grow. I mean, it's just like the farm out here. I have South Fulton, which is a plus. I mean, of course, it raised my property taxes, but it's a plus.
We have South Fulton on our farm, too.
And it makes a big difference.
We're not hooked up. We just have it to the house.
And we're okay on water. I mean, as far as supplying water, Evan.
Yes.
So we can, I mean, we're not talking about a whole lot more footage, but we are talking a few more people on the line.
Yeah.
And that's always the biggest concern. Because we're only allowed so many people to hook onto the water. But
you know.
But I know we can do that. We can definitely get a price on how much it would cost us to do it and go from there. And then, of course, it has to go through the council after that. And if everything's in line, then what we can do is just make a recommendation to the council at that time and put it on the agenda and approve it or disapprove it. So is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And
we want your business.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice if we could run the treasurer today and put it in, but like I said, we have to look at a few more things, and it's only fair to you that we know how much it is, and it's fair to all of us. So I know how much it is and how far we need to go, and if we can get somebody to do it. And I don't know if the contractor, do we have to bid contractor, or can we just pick a contractor on that, Nev, you think?
I guess it all depends. I know during an emergency you don't have to. It's all with the pricing. Like I said, when I talked to the engineer, like when I was, you know, still in the works of doing that fairground thing, you know, I got all these prices from people. Yeah. So I got who we're going to use and everything, and then he reminded me that where I slipped was anything over this price or this price, you got to get bids for it. It's got to go off the bid. I wasn't aware of that, yeah, you know, at the time. So he says the only way you can loop around that is you'd have to have your attorney write up something, the council vote, this is who we want, this is why we want them, and then they just vote, okay, do it.
Yeah.
But that's usually large amounts of money being spent there.
I don't remember being over so many thousand.
That's what I care about. Yeah. Some was 20,000, some was 40,000.
Talk to somebody on your schedule once I get done.
Yeah. I don't know the exact
so
number.
So anything under, you don't have to have a bid.
Yeah, that's something we can check on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in charge of it. But, sort of in charge
that
of
it. That is true. And then a certain amount, you do have to have the paper insurance.
Yeah. So if that's fair to you guys, I mean, I know we'll be out a little bit longer, but I just didn't have everything.
All the ducks in a row.
Sure.
Yep. So we don't have to stop.
Okay.
And that way we can just either put it in or not put it in.
Yeah.
We'll be up front.
Yeah,
we'll
just be honest.
If we can, if we can,
we'll
let you
know.
If we can, then, hey, no problem.
Listen, with meetings every 2 weeks.
Yeah, if something goes south.
I don't know, because there's only like three churches that have full ministers.
I would recommend, since those people want to tap on it, at least get it under that road. And then have more 4-inch under the road.
Yeah.
So then there's not all these separate lines and leaves.
You understand?
Okay. Issues, because that turns into a problem with me making the decision.
Brent Reed.
Whose leak is
Brent
it?
Brent Reed. Okay,
thank you. I got to call 3 or 4 different people, which more likely is
going to be changed for the next time.
Try to figure it
okay,
out.
Okay, what church are you with?
Yeah,
if we
do it at a
crossroads, it's a little easier to establish it. You know,
yeah.
It's not
and I'll send it to you once
it's one of their lines leaking.
He's on vacation for 2 weeks, so I won't know probably for right before.
Yeah, if we do it, definitely be 4-inch line, and that way everybody could tap off of it too. So,
yeah, I got valves and hydrants sitting around purchased last year. So that stuff's already bought, so you're looking at saving, you know, if you put 2 hydrants down through there and a couple valves, they're already paid for right now. So,
good.
That wouldn't be a purchase we'd have to do, just a line and some tracer wire.
Yep.
Got all the valve boxes and everything, so.
If we had a trencher, we'd be in business.
Yeah.
So. All right. Is there any other questions on this? Is that fair to you guys?
I think so.
And we'll get back to you really quick. So, I think it's on the agenda tonight under new business, but I'll just probably announce to the council the same thing that we're going to look into it and get a definite price and bids if we have to have them, and then we'll just go from there. And hopefully we can get it. If we can do it, we'll get it done as quick as we can.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
If you guys have any questions anytime, just call and then I can get a hold of Kendall or Mayor. And
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Congratulations, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will.
Anything else underwater?
It's raining.
Yeah, everything's underwater.
It's raining.
All right, then I'll close this meeting, special meeting or committee meeting.
World War II.
WW2.
Second pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you remain standing, Pastor Brant Reed of the Illinois Street Christian Church will say the invocation.
Please join me in prayer. Creator God, we are thankful for all that we have in this world, for we know it comes from this creation and comes from you. We pray that you be with the leaders in this room, that they have discussion and make decisions for the good of these people. Let them place their individual desires to the side, seeking good for all and good for the community. For that is what you call us to be, community with you and community with each other. Guide their discussions and let them feel your presence flowing through them during this time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The clerk will call the roll, please.
Yes. Alderperson Sally Clark.
Here.
Trevor Kelly is absent. Brad Ward.
Here.
Kendall Miller.
Here.
Kim Paschal.
Here.
John Spotlow.
Here.
Mayor Lee Ferry.
Here. Having quorum, we'll move on for everyone to approve the minute or read the minutes. Do we have any changes or additions to last month's minutes? No changes or additions. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
I'll second that.
Motion by Sally, second by Kendall. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we have the clerk's report. Ms. Goddard.
I don't have anything tonight.
All right. Treasurer's report. We have a treasurer here.
No, she's absent.
She provided us with a written report.
Yep.
Okay. Do we need a motion to approve the treasurer's report?
I move to approve the treasurer's report.
Second. Motion by Kendall, second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, has everyone had a chance to review the bills? I know we're changing it this time, and everybody feel comfortable with the bills. All right, if everyone's read and signed their bills, we have a motion to approve the bills.
I make a motion to approve the bills.
Motion by Sally, second by Kim. We need a roll call vote.
Alderperson Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Paschal?
Aye.
John Spotlow?
Aye.
Motion carries. Approve and pay the bills. Mr. Collins, do you have an attorney's report?
I do not have anything that's not covered by the agenda down the way here, so thank you.
Is there something on the agenda about the ordinance saying that we have to have an agenda in a certain order? Is that
put anything on.
We spoke about that.
Yeah, as far as the order of business goes, currently it is codified. We do have an ordinance that specifies kind of the step-by-step direction of the agenda. Based on my review of the municipal code, there's no requirement that we have that. That's just kind of a piece that was put in for some reason, unbeknownst to me, but it's not required of the municipal code. As a result, if we want to vacate that ordinance or get rid of it, we're allowed to do that. That would allow kind of free rein over the clerk and the mayor to arrange the agenda, the order of business on the agenda, the way they saw most appropriate.
I can't add anything to the agenda. I want to move the paying of the bills down. According to this ordinance, we can't even move the payment of the bills down the order of the agenda. And it doesn't make any sense to me. It seems counterproductive. We put out an agenda so the people will see what we have.
If it's a fact of bringing it to the vote before the council, then,
that's what we're going to have to do.
I would move that, the agenda be... I mean, if you want to make a change, I move that the agenda be a change, and then...
I don't know if we can do it tonight. We have to...
To
vacate the ordinance, we'll probably put it on the agenda for next time.
Okay.
I can prepare basically the vacation of the ordinance.
There you go.
Okay. That sounds like the direction I'd like to go, and everyone else in agreement. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
You bet.
Engineer's report. Do we have an engineer here this evening? No engineer. Do I have any public comments or petitions at this time? Anyone from the public wish to speak?
I have her on the agenda.
Mr. Ford?
I was talking, I guess, with some people that, you know, we think maybe it would be a good idea to bring ESDA back to Lewistown. Lewistown and ESDA. I think it'd be something that we need. I think we're getting kind of neglected in our area with storm spotting, and I think if we could control it ourselves, maybe, you know, if there was a disaster, we could be able to do that ourselves instead of, you know, Polk County taking care of all that.
So we don't have spotters anymore?
They're with the Fulton County ESDA, but I don't know. He has them all over. I don't know where exactly.
I mean, do we have anyone in Lewiston that's a member of Fulton County ESDA and a spotter? Or?
I think there's maybe one or two.
We have a few.
Now, we're going to make you stand in the corner and do that
again.
I'm
so sorry. Who is that?
So,
she should know I have a meeting.
I think there's like one or two, I think, in this area.
I mean, is there an interest? Do you have more people that are interested in ESDA?
Yeah.
And there's just no local... I know there's no local director. I spoke with Chris Helley a week or so ago, and I know there's no local director. And I asked him, I told him I wanted some involvement locally. So, I mean, I think it's probably worth discussing. Maybe we should put it on the agenda for next meeting.
Okay.
And, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And maybe we can ask...
Yeah, I wouldn't worry.
Do we pay the county to do it now? They just follow.
Did we erase that from the budget? What was it before?
Yeah, we don't have any money in there because we haven't paid them anything for quite some time.
I mean, when I worked for the county and I made the ID cards, there was probably 10 active people the last time I made the cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we had our last local director was... Annette Farah. She took over for about a year after Barry Blackwell vacated. And then we transferred over to Polk County. At the time, there was kind of a lack of participation. There was issues with, I think, equipment and involvement. We used to park cars at the Scenic Drive. As the Scenic Drive died, so did participation, so did the funding. That was a huge... boots that we would get from parking cars down to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, we used to run it out of the city building here.
Right.
That was downstairs.
Yeah, the only thing we pay is the sirens.
Unfortunately, all that equipment has been moved. At the same time that we went to Polk County is when they narrow-banded radios, so a lot of the old equipment is... aged,
right.
Not going to be able to be used.
Right.
So there's going to be some issues there, but as far as maybe getting involvement back into Lewistown, where we at least have maybe someone local that we could direct our issues to and planning wise.
Right.
Because I know from the police standpoint, you know, if we have natural disasters, it falls on me. I don't have any help.
Yeah.
I got to try to get a hold of Helley, and if anybody knows Helley, it's not the easiest thing to do.
Right. And that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, because there used to be a force that was volunteer, and like I said, Scenic Drive and everything else, it was a force that helped. And
all right, well, do we think Helley could provide us with more information?
Or, oh, probably.
I mean, we want him to come to the council maybe and talk to us about ESDA. I mean, I can have him do that.
You want to call him? You want me to?
I can call him.
Okay.
All right, we'll put him on the agenda, and don't let me forget to call him. All right, thank you, Jerry Ford, for your comments. Do we have any other comments or petitions from the public? I have one thing. It was a letter I received, and I'll give everyone a copy. I want a copy placed in the record from a resident who's basically moved away and came back. She's an elderly lady, lives in the towers. just some of her ideas. A lot of it is pride in ownership. She'd like to see more pride in ownership from property owners. So everybody wants to pass those around. We'll keep one for the record. Okay. Next are committee reports. Alderperson Clark, the chairman of the Finance, Insurance, and Zoning. Do you have anything for us this evening?
I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Sewer, Alderman Spotlow.
Nothing to report, sir.
Thank you. Streets and Alleys, Alderman Miller.
Nothing on Streets and Alleys.
Okay. Police, ESDA, Alderman Ward.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Water, Alderman Miller.
I'm going to go ahead and I have two items in new business on water tap, but I'm going to go ahead and recognize them now under the water chairman here, under water committee. But we had a water committee meeting this evening before the city council meeting, and it was two residents outside of the community here that want to tap on the city water. And we have all the details on that, but at this time, we're looking at getting prices on not only the pipe and material, the non-material, but the labor to do it, and then go from there as far as the council, then present it back to the council. But it's out on Scoville Road is where it's at the top of the hill, or Scoville Lane, and there's water out there already, but it's just a matter of running water on down the road from there. And that's what was discussed in the committee. So, and of course, to anybody that, just so everybody knows, anybody that does tap onto water that lives outside the community has to sign an agreement either to be annexed to the city, and if they can be. If not, they have to sign a pre-annexation. If we ever move that way, then they would have to annex to the city of Lewistown, so, which is a proper thing to do. But anyway, if you have any questions on it, if not, that's what I was going to discuss under. So there won't be any, unless you want to discuss it, under the water tap, under the two citizens there, that's what it's on. So.
And we tabled it for the next meeting.
Yeah, it'd be until we get more information, and then, of course, all the information will come before the council before anything's done in the first place. What we need to do now is just find out, you know, like I said, labor and cost of everything else, and whether we can do it or not. So, all right, that's all I have, Mayor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Miller. Utilities and Publications is Alderman Kelly. He is absent this evening. I have no correspondence with him regarding that. Public Buildings and Grounds is also Alderman Kelly. I have nothing on that other than the gazebo has been, the painting has started by the FOP Lodge that volunteered their labor. That's ongoing. It should be done in a week or so, I guess. Tourism Committee, Alderman Pascal.
June 1st is going to be another meeting for the 200-year celebration. It's on a Tuesday this time, instead of Saturday, at 6:30 at the Visitor Center.
Okay.
It'll be next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday at the Visitor Center, a 200-year meeting. Everyone is welcome. Okay, thank you, Ms. Pascal. The TIF Committee, Alderman Spotlow, do we have any TIF-related
material? None I'm aware of.
Okay. Cindy, has anyone contacted that you about any TIF?
TIF, Billy Simmons is bringing in one for Jean down there in her building for a new door and sign.
Okay.
Jean, where the chiropractor is going to be, she does the back rub.
Okay.
I don't know what the name of it is. Okay. I haven't seen the paperwork yet.
Across from Casey's South there.
Yeah. She.
Okay.
Healing Springs.
Yeah, that's it.
What is it?
Healing Springs.
Healing Springs. Yeah. All right. When we get that, we'll refer that to Alderman Spotlow and his committee for preliminary.
She was going to do two because she brought it in. She said You know, I'm going to get a door and get a sign. You know, do you want to do them separate or together? And I said, there's no reason not to do it all together. So
yeah.
It'll be on the next agenda for sure. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our Citizens Committee, Amanda Smith. You all have a handout that she left here for us.
Borrow Alderman Kelly because my press is too small.
Okay.
Have my eyes dilated. Struggling a little bit, so I apologize. So I have spoke to Doug a while back, and I think it goes back to the letter that he just shared from the resident who had moved away and moved back about pride in our community. We've had a lot of talk lately with some of the crime that's been happening, and we've been here before to discuss that. Alderman Kelly had brought up in the last meeting that he had received some complaints, and Mayor Lafferty had shared, have we talked to our neighbors? Have we reached out, and have we provided support? And so I think we have a heavy lift ahead of us to kind of get things to be where we would all like them to see, which is going to take some community support and to get some momentum behind that. So we have a lot of individuals who want to help, want to see things cleaned up and turned around, and so how do we go about doing that? And really, when we're looking at our community, we've heard, all the great things about Havana and what they've done to revitalize their downtown and really beautify the city. And so how can we make steps in that same direction? And so, there's so many positive things about, the small town feel of having a bigger community. And residents have an attachment here, which is, really looking at their loyalty. And we also know that communities that typically are well-kept and oftentimes have a lower crime rate, so we don't see that sometimes those individuals want to stay in communities where, there's really that strong sense of neighbors. And so really kind of looking at what we can do, I thought it was timely. I had read on Facebook recently about in Manitou where there was a lot of ordinance or tickets or code enforcement happening for individuals that were letting the grass grow. When they reached out to those individuals, they really realized that they were elderly or disabled, and they just truly needed the help. So I think kind of looking at that perspective and how we can start moving forward with some of these things is really kind of a good first step. And so when I thought about this, and I've done some research, I work in Peoria, and I'm involved in some of their community initiatives as well. And really, this isn't just like a one of them that's do Gabby days like Camden does or just fix up their yard day. So how do we kind of maintain a strategy long term? Because if we don't have a plan in place, I think we're going to end up in the same position we are now, where there's properties that need some upkeep. And there's a lot of benefits really to kind of working on beautification and revitalization. We're going to really work to keep the residents that are here, attract new residents, new potential businesses that would be coming downtown. So I really would like to put this kind of as a long-term strategy, as we have support from Mayor Lafferty, as well as, kind of dividing this up into different projects as though it may interest certain residents in the community. They may be more interested in one thing than another. So really when I'm talking about a beautification and revitalization plan, it's really the cleanliness and upkeep of our community, the harmony of our buildings. So when we come downtown, what does that look like? The condition of the individual buildings downtown, even looking at our greenery and our plantings. Lighting in the community. So our neighborhood group recently did submit a grant. We'll find out, I think, coming up very soon if we get it, but to do some maintenance-free lighting in the area and then also provide lights to residents who maybe couldn't afford them. Our goal is to really help put them up in their homes so that they're not struggling with the installation process as well. And then also looking at public art. So I recently was in Havana. I saw one of their landscapes on the side of their building. Of our building downtown. It looks beautiful. It was reflective of their community. And so I think that we can do some similar things here. We have the potential and we have the buildings to do that. And so this really goes back to the benefits. It goes back to what this longtime resident says, pride and ownership. And how do we, as a community, as leaders in the community, really help instill that and encourage and motivate individuals to take pride and ownership in their community, which we know is going to really bring about an improved quality of life. Again, we're attracting new residents, potentially new businesses, and it's just really overall a benefit for our community, the health of our community, and the longevity of our community. So when I kind of started to do some looking and reflecting, as well as taking information from others that shared with me, you know, we're a small community. We don't have a branch of the city that's focusing on housing development or community development. So it really is up to our residents to own this. And I kind of thought this all landed in three different buckets. So economic development, as well as housing development and community development. In the economic development bucket, really looking at downtown revitalization, I have reached out to some individuals downtown. Some individuals are interested in community volunteers to assist with cleanup and beautification. Others are not. But also looking at, you know, the streetscapes and the curbs and what that looks like. I've seen Sarah Banner out with the flowers, and those are starting to look wonderful. But we could also do some additional greenery, possibly like an adopt a planter, where an organization or individual would be responsible downtown for having a planter of flowers in the summer. Also, I put on here tactical urbanism, and this is something that I just kind of become familiar with in some of my work over the last couple of years. But
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Tactical urbanism. Okay. So what that really is maybe something that's not permanent, but if we'd like to trial something, for instance, a farmer's market downtown, you know, where we kind of do a pop-up and see how that goes over, and then determine long-term if that's something that we would like to, you know, the city would like to invest dollars in or seek some grant funding. So we can certainly trial some different things. And then I also have on there public art. So, you know, there's the not only the schools, but and the art students, but also the Fulton County Arts Council is doing a mural as well. So I think there's agencies and resources in the community that we can reach out to. And when I talk about housing development, I'm really talking about looking at those dilapidated properties that need rehab. Maybe some of them are just, you know, needing mowed, and how can we have a either provide outreach to those individuals in the community or the potential for in-reach, so those individuals reaching out a place that they can go if they're needing assistance with mowing or bushes trimmed, and what services could be provided. We've seen also within our surrounding communities, we have community cleanup days. So here in Wooston, it can be very difficult. I know it's $75 if you want a couch picked up. I mean, that's a third of a dumpster to just off the bat to rent. We do see a lot of furniture sitting around. If you want to take it somewhere and dispose of it, it's a pretty long drive, and you've got to have a trailer and a vehicle to haul that. And so that's not always convenient, especially for elderly residents or residents that are disenfranchised and can't necessarily do that. So, you know, could we do Gabby days? Could we do some kind of potential, you know, neighborhoods renting dumpsters together where we can help kind of support that as a community? So that's a couple of options. And then also I've seen some other communities that have done growth or facade programs. So this is similar to TIF funding that's provided to businesses, but this could be TIF funding, and I believe there was, we'd have to look into, but at one time there was residential TIF funding available in Illinois. So it would be available for someone who maybe needed a roof or needed some assistance cleaning up and would be able to help support them kind of within the same guidelines as the business TIF funding. As far as community development, obviously lighting's been a hot topic. That's been an issue that's brought to our attention more than once. We do have, again, a grant on the docket. Hopefully we'll be blessed and receive that. But I've also had feedback from others, and I know this isn't always just the community or with the city council, but just really the walkability of our community for them to get out and ride bikes with their kids, you know, any type of family trail, utilizing the parks, and then as well as other recreation opportunities that could possibly be available through the parks. So these are ideas that I collected through research or through feedback from residents in my neighborhood. But really, I would like to take some time and really look at what are our strengths and weaknesses and our opportunities within the community. I think, and we have to build upon that. So we have a lot of great things that are happening that everybody's aware of: the winery, the front porch business. We have new businesses coming in with the boutique, and what Linda Helley has done with the old library is just amazing. You know, we're the county seat. We have a lot of people coming in and out through the courthouse, as well as our historical properties, music in the park, and Dixon now. So we have a weekend on those opportunities and really look at how we do improve our community. And I think the one strength that we have is we truly do have a lot of engaged residents here that can get behind some of these efforts and make a difference. As well as some of our opportunities, Central Illinois Foundation grants will be coming up on, I believe, in September. And so they do fund community projects, such as green spaces and community gardens, walkability, lighting. So we have some opportunities for funding that may be out of the traditional funding sources that are brought to the city council. So again, it's really just about engaging, and I feel like coming tonight, I think it's about education of kind of where we want to go and also making sure that we have the right people at the table, that we're supportive of these issues. So not only just the city council, but looking at our religious community, our business owners, engaging those property owners, volunteers. I immediately thought of Karen King and all the great work that she does. Members from our park district, our key community members, and as well as the school district, I think we all have a place in coming together in making some of these things happen. And again, some of these things can happen relatively with just some, you know, little bit of labor. We can start making a difference, and we can see that. We can see the effects immediately. I think next steps, what I'd like to do, if I have support of the council, is kind of identify maybe a steering committee. So some of those key people that can really help support some of these initiatives, someone from the religious community, the council, some of the business owners, and bring them together and really kind of look at what we need to do. As far as also having possibly a town hall style, I think it's important that we get the voice of our residents and hear what they have to say. If we're listening, they're engaged, and it's going to take the work of everyone, I think, to make change happen. So with that, once we kind of get those ideas and come on settle on plan and what are those top initiatives that we want to work on, whether it's getting the curbs painted or one of the buildings downtown or one of the public buildings or maybe working on some public art, really coming up with a plan. So I typically work with, you know, setting some clear objectives on a timeline and identifying those responsible parties and who's going to be involved, so that we can make sure that work's getting done. So the last thing I want to do is energize the community and then not see these projects come to fruition. So I'm here today to share and hopefully move forward with this process. I'm wanting to ensure that we have support from the council as well as feedback and ideas and thoughts you may have and direction you may want to go as we move forward.
Have you looked at, I know there's already a plan as far as the community, as far as development and redevelopment and everything else that was done, I want to say about 4 years ago, maybe five, and it was all, and it was from Western Elmer Regional. They come over and we put together a plan for the community, and it's for trails, and that's where Music Park came out of.
Study. The trail. I saw some information about a trail.
And there's a bike trail already, and there's a hiking trail down at the park.
No, there's a hiking trail. I was not aware of the biking trail, and
yeah.
I don't know if
it's actually a 13-mile loop if it's done correctly.
Okay.
But anyway, there is a plan. What was the name of that?
Wild group.
Yeah, but what was the name of the? What was the name of that group altogether? That came and put it together. I know it was called Wild here, but
was it from the Western?
I still get emails from her.
Yeah,
something of your community.
I can't remember the name, but it was all capital letters. But anyway, there is a study, a plan. I mean, if that's something that could help.
Yeah.
And we had volunteers. We met for weeks and put together a plan as volunteers, as a community. One group was working on education, one group was working on lawn mowing, beautification, and taking care of the community.
Right.
Another group was working on
flowers. Yeah, we went out and cleaned out
flowers.
The park.
Yeah.
We did a lot of stuff.
It
should be still here somewhere.
But did those groups just kind of fizzle
out?
Yeah,
well, and that's the whole thing, is to keep. Now, we did keep music in the park because it worked, and it is volunteer, but it's like any other thing. Eventually, it's the same people.
Everybody gets burnt out.
Same
people do everything.
You have to keep re-recruiting people, and that takes a lot of time.
That's what I mean. She's younger than all of us, so she's got different. She's got different
yeah.
friends.
She didn't realize that we've already went through all this one time.
Right.
Or two times.
I've done a lot of community work in Peoria where I've been on some different communities. And it's, I think, the same with every community. You tend to recycle, and, you know, as communities evolve, the same thing stays in it. And that's where I think, as I said in the very beginning, if we don't have a plan to sustain something long term, what does this look like 5 years out? I think we'll be in that same position where we had. And maybe this becomes where it's not all volunteer-based. We may have to look outside of the box and see what's involved in it. And funding's always a challenge. But events or projects seem to recycle themselves. But I think that's one of the keys, is how do we maintain it long-term? Because I don't think anybody wants to put in the effort and work hard and not see it maintained.
Kendall was mapping the future of your community.
Yeah mapping.
A mapping program.
Yeah, that's it. Mapping.
And that's where the Wild group came from.
Yeah. And like I said, it was one of the things that it wasn't a loss of interest. It was kind of that, because people just slowly dropped away. They didn't see anything improving. So they just kind of walked away, and nobody to keep them encouraged.
Committees, we had a lot of committees, and then they kept going down to
yeah.
you know, five committees, three committees.
Nobody showing up.
And it happens every time. I mean, it happens every time. I've seen it going on for 40 years, but, and it's great. I mean, it needs to be, just like you, revitalizing it. It needs to be done. Yes, it does. And I think there's not a person in this room that's probably not willing to help make it go, and one way or another. And
if anybody has the documentation that they would be willing to,
yeah, there
in,
should be a book about this thing.
That would certainly, I think, alleviate some of the labor or some of the research.
It's got to be in somewhere
because we paid for it.
Giselle Hamm.
But there should be a. Should be a book here in City Hall, I think, somewhere on it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, but I don't know. Amanda and Alicia threw a lot of stuff away, so I'll see if I can find anything. I might have my stuff still.
Okay, I know where you can get it. I can get it for you.
Oh, you can get it? Okay.
Well, there's no doubt you need to take a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Or be open to different approaches.
Sure.
We've got buildings sitting empty, trees growing out of the roofs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the city can't afford to be... You know, taking over properties—that's not the goal. Taking people's property, you write them tickets, and if they don't have anything, it doesn't do to get to write them a ticket.
On that, I've only had one property that is someone lived at that I had an issue with mowing so far this year. Every other one is abandoned, and most of them are going. Whoever owned them let it go for back taxes. And I found that to be the worst process ever. 3 years before they can take deed to a property, and when they go and look at the property, they say, I'm not going to get my money's worth out of this. So they do a sale and error. They get their money back from the county, and then the county starts that tax process over again. We've had some 9-10 years have gone for back taxes, and no one has taken deed to those properties. And, you know, I tag them because there's nobody responsible for those. So we're going to have to put liens on those properties, and then at some point, if it goes to the trustee, the county trustee, because no one buys the back taxes, then the trustee will then see that we have a lien and offer to give it to us, probably.
Yeah, and when I called down there and talked to them...
The time limit on that is just horrendous.
Yeah, when I called down there and talked to them, I sent them a bill for one of them mowing the properties. Well, we don't have to pay that. We're, you know, the county. You know, and I'm like, well, then who pays it?
Right.
And he's like, well, you can buy, you, the city can buy the property.
Right.
Well, we don't have the money to buy the property. But, you know, they just, like, ignored my bill and said, we don't have to pay it.
Unfortunately, the town's shrinking. You know, the loss of the bigger jobs, the town's shrinking, you know, the older population is dying out, and we're getting stuck with more and more abandoned houses. And I cussed it a little bit. I tried to get a hold of this reverse mortgage HUD program that HUD has, where they give you a check every month, I guess, until you die, and then your house goes to HUD, and then they just turn around and sell it. I've had there's one that's, a lady passed away 3 years ago, and nothing has changed on that house. HUD has not submitted paperwork to the county, and there's nobody to bill for that. It's a headache. So, and I know Evan's getting tired of it. I try to get somebody to mow it, if possible, but ultimately it's fallen on the city guys. And I know his one part-time employee is doing nothing but mowing right now. So that's going to alleviate any help he gets for doing sidewalks and things like that. So,
Roundup's cheaper.
Do we have a catalog of abandoned properties in town? Do we have a listing? I mean,
John, I'm sure he knows where they are.
I know where they are. I can start writing up the list.
Can I say something with this?
Yes.
So the Wild Committee, we have the property across from the Dairy Queen that's set there empty for decades now. I've wanted businesses in it, but it's caught up in a family squabble. We pay the taxes, we do the lawn mowing, we make sure everything's there.
Yeah.
But they were wanting to try to find a way of passing ordinances where we would be billed for having this abandoned building. And I guarantee you, that was a lot of anger. Because there is no excuse in the world if you're already caught up in a mess when a family squabble to then be attacked by your city, so please don't go that way.
Oh, no, I was thinking maybe we could reach out to the neighbors of these abandoned properties for help.
I don't think we're not going to take property.
No, we don't.
But the problem is, if you get involved, you almost have to. I mean, if you have to go to those measures to recoup your money, but I don't think anybody here wants to take the property.
Well, that come up online repeatedly about let's find a way to bill them or charge them or fine them or something because he's, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not the answer.
That system doesn't work.
We've been
in that system.
That fizzled away, though, because they were doing some of those things, too.
I did talk to Stacey Mayall about the issue with the tax, that whole process. She says she is working on something that might help. I don't know if it's a county thing, and you know, I don't know any county board members, but that if it's a county thing, where they can and you know help enact a process. But I know it's not just our town; it's all of Illinois. You know, where people are moving out. If it's something that we need to get a hold of our state legislators to maybe do something to where it'll help them out on the whole tax, how that process works.
Once we because it's administration. Just,
there's different kind of, Mr. Collins, there's different kind of tax sales. There's what they call a scavenger sale. I remember hearing about, because we did scavenger sale stuff when I was mayor in Smithfield.
You want me to get Dad on the phone here?
Well, Steve Bordner represented us in Smithfield years ago when I was mayor. Steve went to the scavenger sale, said, I'm representing the village of Smithfield. We are going to bid on the taxes for these rundown properties. You're all free to bid, but the city has assured me that whoever gets these will clean them up. We will pursue making you clean them up. Nobody bid except Steve. And I mean, we're going to end up paying to clean them up anyway. I mean, it's just it's a sad fact. We're going to end up paying to clean them up, or we have to look at them.
That would be outstanding. I mean, if we could enact something to where if you purchase the back taxes on property, I don't care, and not talk to 3 years to your claim deed, but if you purchase back taxes, that you also incorporate the if that house is not lived in, if it's abandoned, then that whoever's buying the taxes would there care for the property in the meantime. That would be great.
My understanding is the way the county advertises for the properties that are coming up for sale for back taxes is just basically publishing a list. It's not like a actual auction setting where it'd be a sheriff sale and steps of the courthouse. This is more like a published list with details about the property, what's owed on it, what it can be sold for, and then people go in and basically say, I want to buy that property or I want to buy this property, here's what I'm willing to pay. I don't think there's any scenario where we could go in and you know, rooster about saying, whoever buys these is going to be held accountable to all the ordinances for the city of Lewistown. If there is, I can find out and let everybody know. The issue that I see is once the county takes possession of that property because of the back taxes, we're already finding out from Cindy they're not going to pay the bill for mowing. And until that tax buyer takes a deed to that property, they're not accountable for it. Right. They're just the owner of the taxes, basically.
Right.
So the only thing you can do is put a lien again.
Yes.
If we don't work on the property.
But no, I'm not saying threaten them. I'm just saying that, you know, we're going to do this. We want these properties cleaned up. No, this is how bad they are.
And that's something.
And once they realize how bad they are, they don't want them either.
And that's something that we could work. Now, granted, the list is not just Lewistown; it's the whole county. But that's something we could work with Stacy on to put an asterisk next to the property. And put a footnote on that document that has any properties in Lewistown that says, you know, these properties will be subject to the city ordinances of the city of Lewistown and are anticipated to remain in compliance. Now, whether or not that holds an ounce of water, you know, when it comes time to enforce it, I don't know. You know, that's just because of the ownership dynamic when it's in flux like that. There's a tax buyer that's purchased the taxes, but the deed hasn't transferred, the deed hasn't issued out of the county yet. Could we enforce it? If it really came down to it outside of a lien, Probably not. I mean, it's not like we're going to drag these people into a B Corps.
And most of the purchasers are their investment groups.
Right.
They don't see it.
Their bid and interest rates is what they do. How much they're giving you this money. Yeah.
The sad thing last year, one lot sold for $800. The mowing bill was $1,800. And it was just a guy from Canton, and he paid the mowing bill. I mean, I contacted him and seen the bill, and he's like, man, I only paid $800 for the whole lot. Now the mowing bill is $1,800. I'm like, sorry.
There's exceptions to every rule, but the rule is most of the time you're going to get.
Well, most of the taxes, I mean, are, you know, people don't lose their property.
Right.
They just redeem their taxes. They pay a little more money.
Correct.
And if they don't pay them for 2 or 3 years in a row, that's when this process starts.
Correct.
But I see take notices in just last week's mm-hmm. Democrat. I mean, take notice is the last step, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're losing it. The scavenger sale got us right to the take notice.
Right.
The scavenger sale was the only sale we went to. We bought it, went right to the take notice, and we took property within, you know, a month.
Right.
So that's what I mean. It's a different kind of sale, and I don't know whether these properties... Sounds to me like they're eligible for that kind of sale if they haven't already, these sales haven't already occurred.
Possible. I just don't know that scenario continuing the way maybe it was when Warner was an attorney. I can find out.
One other question that I would have. The TIF funding, is there potential for Lewiston to have TIF funds for residential areas? And could we ask that?
We can't. There is such a thing as a, if I may.
Go ahead. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. No. Go ahead.
There's such a thing as a residential TIF.
Yeah.
But it is to build houses and subdivisions. And I don't.
Florida has one for rehab residential TIF. It's specific to low income, so it's specific to like the East Bluff.
Is it a TIF or is it?
It is a
there's a HUD program that that Lewiston should definitely apply for.
So
all the information.
One or two of those would be a possibility to look into.
Whether 10 at a time.
Right. I know there's other communities that have done those. I don't know if they're still open or not. They'll rehab so many.
We have had to do a bunch of houses. Mm-hmm.
They mainly do interior insulation, windows.
Yeah, windows siding. Basically, it looks good from the outside. Amanda, I heard you mention a couple times painting curbs and stuff like that. I know the city's in the process of doing that right now. Do you have people wanting to volunteer right now?
I do not have people right now. I would have to get on the horn.
Because if you have people that want to volunteer, Evan Palmer is director of the Public Works. He will not turn down free labor. If someone comes to him and said, I'm just dying to do something, he'll put him to work.
Because his other help's busy mowing.
I mean, that's what we all have to do. We all have to get involved. We can't just sit back and point the fingers and tell John, go tell them to do this. I mean, John is not our boxing gloves. We have to solve these problems ourselves. And
I hear a lot of complaints. And I always, my response is always, you know, you need to be the change that you want to see. So.
We hear a lot of complaints here. I was on the phone this afternoon, lady, for over a half hour.
But that's always my response. So if you're, which I know you can't always respond like that, but I can, and I can say, well, how are you going to help?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we have to put back on people, or how are you going to help your neighbor?
And I explained to this lady that we had a new committee and we were trying to, you know, get more stuff done and, you know, we're working at it.
And those are the people we need to get involved.
Those are exactly
the people, the ones that they're not complaining. I mean, it's whatever you want and we want. Everybody wants the same thing. We want clean water and clean streets and everything else, lighting. We all want it. But it's to get those people together, that's the key. On any committee, you can form any committee, but to get the people to actually do it, that's the key.
Correct.
So if you can do that, then, like I said, I don't think there's anybody in this room that would be there to help on something. So,
but. Do you think it would be possible, Cindy, to maybe keep a list of those names and properties that call with concern? concerns or individuals that call, and I would be happy to engage with them and reach out. And
yeah, I can do that.
I do. Classes and they cleaned up. They cleaned up a lot of leaves on the north side of the wall. Neighbors there, they raked all their yards and they had class. So that might be someone to contact with something even on that. You know, if they want to go to a yard, do some cleaning up somewhere.
Matt's on my list.
I talked to him. It's been a few weeks ago on the street here in town, and he said he was limited this year with what he could do with the kids. He wanted to, the kids wanted to, but he was limited.
Because of COVID?
Yeah. Because of the restrictions placed on him by the government.
That and all the sports in the spring versus...
Yeah.
They just come and helped us at the Historical Society, at the blacksmith shop and the museum cleaning. Matt did, and brought four kids. So that was helpful for us.
I believe what you're doing is wonderful, and I want to see you continue. I believe the rest of the board wants to see you continue. We will support you. I will talk to anyone you want me to talk to. I mean, I'll try to work with whoever wants help, whoever wants to work with. But I like to help people that want to help themselves.
Yes.
That's what I really like to do.
That's a big key right there.
Yes.
I think if we could find anything out on residential TIF or HUD, and then
do you want to call the regional council tomorrow and ask them about that rehab for houses, housing rehab? Because I do know it did exist. I don't know if it still does or not.
Which state does
that?
We're not the Lone Ranger here. This is every community in this county that I'm aware of. Okay, I don't know about the whole state, but I'm telling you, this county's every community has the same problem. Cuba hired ex sheriff Daley as an ordinance officer. He found out real quick that this was an uphill mountain and he couldn't climb. He found out the number of people in the city that didn't even own a lawnmower. I mean, it's. You know, we have to change people's priorities a little bit, and just it's pride and ownership.
Yeah. Havana's a perfect example of turning themselves around. I mean, they were in the same spot that we were, but they're slowly turning themselves around, and that's what we can do, too.
I think we can do better.
We just all have to work together. That's simple as that. We all have to work together. Okay. Anybody have anything else for Amanda? I think she's doing a wonderful job.
Thanks, Amanda.
All right.
I'll let you know what I find out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Evan Palmer, Public Works Report.
A lot of rain. Slowed us down a little bit. Other than that, this month we got all the flowers put in. Sarah's watering, starting patching. As you mentioned earlier, they started on the gazebo, so it's getting painted. Hopefully down here in the next week or so. Other than that, our water numbers have been down since we fixed that leak. They're up the last few days, obviously, warmer weather, pool filling, stuff like that. I'll have summer help start June 1st, since we have a three-day weekend, so I will have some more help here June 1st. Helps out a little more. Like Orland said, we got a guy that's mowing quite a bit lately, so... Hopefully that slows down.
Three more
for him. But other than everything, I feel is going in the right direction. Steps, everything's following the book that I wrote right now to stay on path to get what I want done for the city. So just keep chipping away a little at a time.
It's looking good.
It is. Evan has a plan. Evan takes pride in his community. He realizes that he works here 8 hours a day, but he lives here 24. So that's what we all need to realize.
Well, you said the FOP, he's been up there.
Yes, he was helping the FOP paint today, and yes.
They helped with some other things yesterday.
That's it, though.
All right. Thank you, Evan. Do we have any unfinished business that we need to talk about, anyone aware of? No? All right, we'll move on to new business. Kendall reported earlier in the water reports about these two water taps. Does anybody have any questions for Kendall on either of those? If not, we'll probably just bypass them, and we'll readdress at a later date. Next, Ms. Marcia Jones is here, wants to talk about Scenic Drive.
I think I talked to you last year, and you approved it, and we're going to bring it, try to have a Scenic Drive again this year, and we were wanting to know if, once again, we could block off the square for the 2 weeks of the Scenic Drive.
We've done that in the past, is that correct?
Yeah.
We just didn't get to go ahead and finish it just last year.
Right.
Because they canceled everything.
Right.
Move to approve.
Right.
I'll second that.
Got a motion by Alderman Spotlow to close the square for Scenic Drive, seconded by Alderman Miller.
That's the entire square around, I mean, mm-hmm. courthouse square.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we can get enough vendors, we'd like to go on down towards the Carnegie Library. Linda Elliott has purchased that, and she's going to have vendors inside. So it'd be nice if we could walk
take
down.
Take that side street.
Lincoln.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we need to send out notice to courthouse and businesses?
Wait, to be able to close it after courthouse
yeah.
Friday.
Yeah. They don't close until
Saturday morning. Started the Scenic Drive, so you wouldn't have to.
But I'm here for Riverside, and just to let them know.
They do all that by phone.
Yeah.
The residents in the apartment on the square, they can still access their apartments, or that's the only concern I have.
Park right here.
Yeah. But I mean that's.
Yeah, during that daytime, they have to park out here.
That's what I'm going to be
just so we have arrangements made for them to park somewhere.
Can we send them to let them know not to park that way Friday night when they go to block it off, or Saturday morning?
Okay.
That they're not calling us to try to get a move at the last second.
Okay. We have a motion.
Last year, Gary was going to put up barricades after business hours.
Can I voice vote that? I can voice vote that.
Is that you
that?
Probably a roll call.
A roll call.
And also, is there any electricity available if someone needed it?
Evan?
The only outlets that we have are at the top of them poles.
Yeah, no. No. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderperson Sally Clark?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Kim Paschal?
Aye.
John Spotlow?
Aye.
Hopefully you fill the square.
I hope so. All right, motion carries. Next, I spoke with people from the Legion. They came to me about the stop sign. When they have bingo, it's just kind of easier for people to get in and out. It was a four-way stop when the railroad crossing was open. Now the railroad's closed. I texted you all about to go look at it. Do we have anybody opposed to removing a couple stop signs there to make it a two-way stop?
I spoke with both residents that live on the corner there. They're both fine because they got little kids. There's nothing driving down that direction.
Right, right.
Any kind of speeds because there's nothing to go through. So
right.
Both residents that live right there have no problem.
Right. I mean, there's not much traffic on that street anyway because it's not a through street. It's just, it just makes it more congested. To me, when you have stuff like that, you may cause more accidents than, but anyway. Okay. If I can get a motion to approve removing those two stop signs from the corner of East Eisenhower and North Elm.
I make a motion.
Motion.
Does that have to be an ordinance?
Yes, it is an ordinance. It's already written up. Yes. Yep. So we've got the ordinance here. So we have a motion and a second.
We have 2 or 3 seconds. Who, Brad, will do
Kim, whoever, one of them.
Okay.
Thank you. Get a roll call vote, please.
Alderperson Sally Clark?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Kim Paschal? John Spotlow?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Evan, if you get those stop signs taken down, I also noticed that they say all way or four way on the other two. Those will have to come down because it's no longer a four way. Okay, the next thing we have, Public Works.
That's 10 days after his publication, so not
tomorrow. Oh, okay, so take them down 10 days after.
Whenever
we post this, so not tomorrow. My mistake. Thank you, Mr. Collins. I just want stuff done.
I didn't want to sign it.
All right.
You don't stick with it.
All right. Anyway, you have bids for new mowers for Public Works. See one from John Deere and one from Bass Equipment, Evan? Or two from Bass?
Yes.
Or just two from Bass? Is that all we have? No
one
John Deere?
John
Deere. Oh, okay. There's a sign.
You can look at mine. I think there's two from Sloan.
I think it's the same one.
Is it the same one? Yeah, it's the same price.
Is there a difference on those two Sloan estimates, or is it just...
There was $7,000 or $8,000.
That was the John Deere.
Yeah.
No, the John Deere, there's just one.
Yeah. I think it's just the way
they print it out. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What's the difference in these two Bass ones? Look like the lower bids. What's the difference?
One's a little less horsepower. The cheaper one is, he called it the Cadillac. It's full suspension, a 360 swivel seat. It's comfort. The RT HD one is the SRTs with the suspension stuff. The RT one is it's got a little bigger hydraulics on it. It's got a bigger horsepower motor, and he said it's built tougher. He brought one down. We demoed it, so it's just built a little stronger. You know, if you're running into things or scraping the side. I believe the Park District has said he just ordered his. I think he went with the RT. I had Dolphin demo last Friday. Yeah, last Friday. Since he'd be the one mowing 90% of the time during the summer. Mm-hmm. He's here working summer help. He said he really liked it. He liked the way the hydraulics were, the comfort on it. His hands didn't vibrate as much. The hydraulics just were easier for him to maneuver without hurting his shoulders, because he did a full day's mowing with that demo.
And that's with the RT, the RTHD.
I think it's got 12cc hydros on it.
Yeah.
Something else.
I can see that one has that air ride seat. You don't want one of these mowers without an air ride seat. You'll hurt your back.
Yeah.
What's the longevity you think of John Deere in these?
Honestly, I've never owned a John Deere. I've never owned a Spartan, so I'm not sure. They got the Kawasaki motors on them. To me, it's the quality of the deck and the parts they use. Because if you look at Cub Cadets or any of them, if they're going to put a Polar or Kawasaki, it's the same motor. It's just what they do with their pumps and... How they set it up. I know some, the way they run their pumps, you get a weird delay in them. Some put the separate pumps on them, so it's a smoother, you know, each hand's running each hydraulic, not just one pump running two.
These are all zero turns.
All zero turns.
And on the pumps, you need to make sure they're changeable. Because some of them aren't changeable. They're throwaway. They're just finding pumps.
Yeah.
And,
up there, he said he keeps a lot of everything on stock at all times. Okay. So he said parts are available through him at all times. He's got something on hand. And then Sloan's, as far as I can tell, I looked up a lot online on them. Sounds like they got a better deck than what they used to run on. They have some 7 still on them. The Spartan's got a 7-inch deck.
It's tired. The ones from Bass Equipment, do they have the air, no flat tires on the back, the airless tires on the back?
No, he says he runs the turf ones for more comfort of ride. He said the no flats on the rear, the fronts are no flats, but he said on the rear, he doesn't. If you want that option, it's an $800 option. But he said a lot of people complain about a rougher ride on those.
I think they do ride rougher. The fair has a John Deere with no flat tires on them. They probably do ride a little rougher.
Well, which would you recommend? The
the $8,000?
I mean, to me, a mower is a mower. The one that he demoed, I didn't think it was bad, but the Doug Deere's not bad either. Right. The only one I ever tested was I went out to FS, and I knew that they had one. I asked JR, but his is bigger. It's a diesel, so, I mean, but it's the same deck, you know. It's just different motor in it, so, I mean, either way, I like them both.
The steel on the Spartan deck is thicker. It's probably
Spartan, much more.
I mean, it's a thick deck. The John Deere deck is, their heavy duty deck is not as thick. I think these Spartans probably hold up better because you got a different person running them. You got summer help running them. The Fair Board did buy a John Deere, but they buy a new one every year for X amount of money, so we don't have to worry about keeping it long term. It's just mows for a year and gone. But you guys are mowing different stuff here. So. Evan, you like the
Spartan?
The Spartan with the air ride seat. I mean, to me, the.
Is that the 8100 one?
Yeah.
He wrote some options on there. Like I said, the cheaper one just had full suspension all around. It had rear suspension, everything. So it was meant strictly for nothing but comfort, you know. So that was the only difference he had to say on that is you think it'd be more, but he said, you know, it's just not as heavy built just because they tried to do comfort on that one.
Oh, it's not as heavy built?
That's small.
It is. But it's got the smaller pumps and all that stuff on it, and the way he described to me, because he didn't have both of them there for me to demo, he just brought the RT down, and that's where, you know, real heavy duty.
I mean, if we start having a problem with flat tires, if you have a lot of flat tires, I guess we can always go back, but
yeah, luckily
no flat tires later.
The mower we got now, the bad boy, I've only had one rear flat tire. That was going with banded lot. And the reason I'm wanting another one is when we do go in yards, you know, it's prone you can walk through, but when you're walking through 3 foot grass, you're not gonna find everything, and we broke a lot of spindles. Those aren't cheap, so
yeah.
And says the 8100 didn't have the rear suspension?
Just front.
So you were thinking maybe the cheaper one might be a better option.
If you want comfort. I mean, to that guy, that was the difference than the hydraulic pump.
Would you rather have the power or the comfort?
Well, this one I'm hoping to use for the city stuff, so comfort would be fine. For the abandoned lots, that's where I want to keep this old mower.
Okay.
So if it gets broke or beat up, I'm not out anything, you know. I can wait for a part, but the yard already has high grass, you know, don't look very good, so I can wait. It's just when it's broke, and then when I asked Ted to borrow his, well, unfortunately, you know, he's mowing the park, so luckily he let me borrow his, but, and this guy said if anything happens to ours, he will bring down the loaner until, if he doesn't have the part, we can use his until we get the part through that Bass Equipment in QL North. So, I thought that was pretty nice too, and generous. Something never happened.
And you say the lower priced one with Bass is the more comfort riding one?
Yeah, if you read on there, it says the four link suspension on and everything.
Rear suspension, adjustable steering arms and that. Okay.
That's why I said it sounded weird. I'd ask him if it's supposed to ride when he come down, and he says yes, that's the way it is. Just smaller pumps on it, but I'm not climbing mountain hills or anything, you know.
Right. Right. So you think that one we could get by with?
Yes, and if, all the, you know, the water tower port part, that's going
to
be a,
well, then to me, it's the cheapest bid. That's the way it looks to me.
We'll make a motion. We purchase the SRT.
My second.
So we have motion by Alderman Ward, second by Alderman Clark, for the
$7,443.10.
Yes. All right, roll call vote, please.
Oliver Boone, Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Bellin.
Aye.
Kim Passel.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Aye.
Hey, motion carries. All right, now, Cindy, you want to talk about this resolution for the charge card?
Yeah, during the, this kind of started in December because all the mail and everything was backed up and the charge card payment got there late, so they charged a late charge. So I called, tried to get it taken off since it's a municipality. They said, you're not an authorized person on the account. You can't do anything. And my name's on the account. But they said they have to have a resolution and signatures, you know, and everything to put my name on it. Right now, it's still Alicia's name on there. So, they sent me this stuff. Yeah, they sent me this stuff to get it changed so I can call and make changes on the account if I need to.
Not that I'm trying to foreshadow or anything, but can we make it the city clerk then holding office as opposed to a specific named individual?
I tried to do that when at the National Bank, because it's through the National Bank.
Yeah.
And they said it has to have a name on it. I tried to do that.
Or is it the county always had our names on it, too?
It'd be really hard to isolate that specific person.
It is. Because, you know, when I leave, then it's going to be another person.
True. I guess that's in case you go to the riverboat or something with it.
See, I did make a mistake once and bought Cub tickets on my county credit card. But I knew it as soon as I hit the enter, and I looked, and I went, oh, no. And I had to go across the hall and say, boss, guess what I did? And well, he just gave me the bill, and I wrote the check when he came in. So it
stays in that room.
But, yeah, I accidentally did that once.
Yeah. But I tried to get it just City of Lewistown on it, and they wouldn't let me. Because I didn't want my name on anything. I don't want my name on anything. So that's what this is all about. So I can call and get late charges taken off, basically.
Do you have that resolution? Is it typed up? And it all you need to do is...
Yeah, I have it here. And it just... I mean, basically, it just needs your signature on it.
Right, but, the undersigned, me, hereby certifies that he is a duly elected official, City of Lewiston. Here's our tax ID. Resolve that this company apply for and obtain a business credit card account. Further resolve that each account obtained be issued one card embossed with the name of the designated business officer or employee of sales that sales drafts and other instruments for charges be signed by the designated officer or employee shall be valid and binding upon this company. It's further resolved that any of the following officers of this organization are empowered to authorize TCM Bank to make any type of changes to the business account. Well, that's basically what the resolution says.
That's my email from.
So if we can get a motion to pass this resolution. Motion by Alderman Spotlow.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Clark. Roll call vote, please.
Alderman Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Pasta.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries and signed. All right. We have someone here to speak for the homecoming parade on September 10th, 2021.
No, they just called and needed the resolution. Close Main Street for the parade, and she gave me the date.
Okay. The date is?
September 10th.
Okay. Need a motion to close Main Street for the September 10th homecoming parade for the high school.
I'll make a motion to close.
Motion by Sally.
Second.
Second by Kim.
Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Yeah.
Alderman Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Pascal.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Moving on, it's time to renew our agreement with the Collins & Collins Law Office. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Nathan?
I move to approve the agreement for Collins & Collins.
Second.
Motion by Kendall, second by Brad. Roll call vote.
Alderperson John Spotlow.
Aye.
Kim Pascal.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Sally Clark.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, everyone has the list of department heads. Time to appoint department heads, Chief of Police and Public Works Director, and John Worland as Police Chief, Evan Palmer as Public Works Director. that is what the council wishes to do. We can have a motion in a second.
Second.
Motion by Brad, second by John. Roll call vote, please.
Alderperson John Spotlow.
Aye.
Kim Paschal.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Sally Clark.
Aye.
And motion carries. All right, now the same thing for the liquor commissioners and the chairman of the liquor committee. It has me as the commissioner. Kevin Del Maestro. Now it's my turn. Brad says I get that corner. Okay. Anyway, Kevin Del Maestro, Sally Clark, Linda Helley, and John Spotlow on the Liquor Commission.
I move to approve the Liquor Commission, Commissioner and Chairman and Committee. Whatever.
Motion by Alderman Miller. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Second by Alderman Spotlow. Roll call, please.
Alderperson Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Paschal. John Spotlow.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Next is the Zoning Board. I'm the chairman of the Zoning Board. Warren Potter, Jim Hines, Dave Stell, Doug Tindall, and Linda Helley on the Zoning Board. Motion by Spotlow, second by Clark. Vote, please. Roll call, please.
Thank you, Sally Clark.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Paschal.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Aye.
Motion carries. Do we have any other business?
I move to adjourn.
Motion by Mr. Miller to adjourn.
Second
of Alderman Clark. Meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming, everyone.
You're new. No,
that's okay.
You are.
We're all working together.